Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Toko, and this is my podcast, The Zebras for That. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome, welcome back. We are in our final little segment of this four-part series about waiting and what to do. And today, we're going to be diving into Tea for Testify. And I'm really excited for this one. It's like a little bit of a, you know, what to do after you wait, because, you know, this is the last episode and, you know, kind of I wanted to transition this to like something else a little bit slightly, so hopefully it'll all make sense. But let's just dive right into it. So we're gonna be talking about John, obviously, but I also wanted to look deeper at his dad, because we touched on his mother, I think it was episode 2 and a bit of episode 3, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, let's talk about John's dad, Zachariah. If you don't know, Zachariah was actually the first in the family to hear about John's like arrival. He was actually it was his duty basically as a high priest, his turn in the, I'm guessing like a roster. And as he was there, like a very high spiritual being appeared to him and was standing at the right side of the altar. And I think it was the altar. Or the altar candles. I think it's the altar. And he tells Zechariah the message. And at first, Zechariah doesn't believe it. He was like, are you sure about this? And then the angel shuts him up. The messenger just says, you know what? Keep quiet. You're gonna be silent. You won't say a word until the birth of John. And this is true. He comes out of the altar. He is, you know, the people that are waiting outside are like, whoa, this man's not speaking, so he must have seen something, which is true. And he goes back, you know, they do the thing, and Elizabeth is pregnant. And throughout the pregnancy, we touched on her going into seclusion for 6 months. Then, you know, when she comes back out of seclusion, she eventually gives birth. And people are like, what are you going to name him? You must name him John. And then, you know, they said, you must name him Zechariah. That's what the people said. Then the parents said, no, his name is John. So, and then they said, Zechariah, is this true? And then he wrote down and said, yeah, his name is John. And then he was able to speak. And I think the important thing is what he says after he's able to speak. And what he does say, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm reading from Luke 1 verse 67, and it says here, Zechariah's prophecy. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. Verse 68, praise the Lord of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. And he goes on to prophesy, and he says in verse 76, and you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. I just want to stop there. And I wanted to touch on a few things. So what this means for us from this whole story is that once we get what we've been waiting for, I think we should make room for the Holy Spirit. And allow me to expand on this. It's not to say that we have not been, you know, throughout our waiting seasons, we have not been full of the Holy Spirit, but it's more to say that I think when we get what we want and what we've been waiting for, there's a little bit of a temptation to be prideful and, you know, oh yes, here I am, you know, the Lord has come through for me. This is all through my being. And I think the shift can be from, you know, I'm submitting to the Lord. And then when we get that, it's like, oh, I don't need the Lord anymore. Completely not true. And I'm speaking from my own personal experiences. Like, there have been times where I pray for something so like fervently and, you know, in the spirit, you know, fasting and praying at midnight, all the things. And then when that thing comes, I'm like, yeah, you know, look at me. I did that. And the Holy Spirit being in that receiving process is crucial to keep our humility. And, you know, aside from that, the Holy Spirit will also prompt us to praise God and further reminding us and humbling us to acknowledge who actually gave us that gift. And if you're waiting for something right now and you're praying and everything, be prepared to receive it along with the Holy Spirit and not like, or receive the gift of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. I mean, you and the Holy Spirit should be working together to receive the gift, because the devil doesn't like when Christians get their prayers answered. He doesn't like that. Like, think about it. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Why would he want good things to happen to his enemy? You know? So he will watch us, you know, get the things that we ask for, and he will put pride there as a temptation. He will lay out pride and lay out independence, not necessarily independence in the context of, you know, I'm coming out of being by myself and I'm being independent to the Lord. I mean independence from the Lord, independence to be, oh yeah, no, I did this. He'll put that out there. And you know, once we get what we receive from God, and what we receive from, and once we get that, there can be a temptation to use whatever we've been waiting for to exercise unrighteous and worldly things. Like, I've done that. Like, what example can I give? When I was praying for companionship, like friends and stuff, I got my friends, and then there was this temptation to do what they were doing. Like, because along with praying for friends, I was still learning. I was praying to learn how to be a friend. And so, you know, being a friend in the Christian context means a whole lot of things. But one of the things is to represent Christ in those friendships, especially, you know, in, obviously with other Christians and when you have worldly friends. But yeah, there was a temptation to go along with what they're doing and basically betray my, you know, moral high ground. Not necessarily moral, but, you know, what I've learned in Christ, because now I have the friends that I've always been praying for. And that's not right, you know. Just because we get what we want for, does not mean we have to, like, be morally promiscuous, you know. And so the example that I want us to follow is what Zechariah did. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, because once you get what we prayed for, that doesn't mean that the work is done. We're supposed to, you know, continue in the Spirit. Just as you are hungry when you're waiting, you know, when you are hungry for the Spirit and you're praying fervently in the Spirit when you're waiting, so it should be when we are out of that waiting period. You know, nothing should change. Yes, the posture is different. We should be, you know, praying prayers of thanksgiving and gratitude. But the point is that God is still in the center of that. And so that's why I say we should testify. And that's why testimonies are so important. And I think not necessarily for our own self, like, oh yes, bragging about ourselves, but to more so boast about Christ, you know, because I've been in spaces where people brag and sprinkle Jesus all over it, you know, where they'll talk about themselves, like, and then at the end they'll be like, oh, but thank God. And you listen to it and it's like, you didn't even speak about God. You were speaking about yourself. And then you just decided to save it at the end and sprinkle Jesus on top of that. It shouldn't be that way. We should be talking from the perspective of dependency on God, you know. And by that I mean, when we're giving testimonies, we talk about the process in terms of the things we had to be obedient in, like the what we heard in the Spirit, how we had to be obedient, what instructions we had to listen to, what scriptures we were leaning on, because those are ways of, you know, say it was not by my strength, but by the strength of the Lord and by the, you know, interceding of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, that becomes a testimony. You know, I'm not necessarily saying that, oh, if you're sharing in this way, that's not like what I just highlighted, you're wrong. But I think the basics should be there, you know, what I just said about that should be kind of in that testimony. And so, you know, not all of us will be prophesying. Not everybody is going to be a prophet. But I think the posture of depending on looking to God once we get what we've asked for is very, very important. And so, you know, coming back to the before this, when John doubts what the messenger says, and he gets shut up, I think it's kind of a reflection of what happens to us when we bring requests to God. You know, when we start the waiting process and we find ourselves in situations where we're asking from God or we're hoping for things from God, because they wanted children. You know, children in the Bible are very, very like, you know, you made it as a person. If you have a kid, you've made it type of thing. And so it's not to say that they didn't want children, and that's why he was doubting that, but it's just the age and the situations that had made him kind of cold towards the possibility of having children. And so most of us can kind of feel like, okay, well, life's not on my side, so why should I even bother when the possibility is there? And I think the messenger shutting Zechariah up is symbolic of how sometimes we just really need to shut our own thoughts out and speak words of positivity and hope in the Lord, or not say anything at all. Because it is true, what you say will come to pass. Like, what you say, there's power in words. Like, if we can pray and shake the room, and, you know, Jesus says that, oh, if we have faith of a mustard seed, and you say to this mountain, be moved, it will be moved. What makes us think that when we say negative things, that can't come to pass? So, you know, this reminded me of, there's a movie called Breakthrough. It's a Christian movie. I really do recommend it. And, like, quick backstory, the son finds himself in a, like, in a very bad predicament. He ends up, like, drowning, and in, like, an ice cold lake. They kind of, like, the water, not the water, the ice cracked over, and they kind of went under. And he was down there for, like, I think it was like 15 minutes, and he had drowned, and plus he was in a coma, and I think his body was shutting down. And they rushed him to the hospital. So, and this is the scene I wanted to talk about in the context of this episode. The doctors in the room, the mom goes to the bathroom, and she comes back, and she hears the doctor saying, yeah, I don't think it's gonna make it, and just speaking so many words of negativity. And she comes into the room, and they see her, and then she says, you know what, get out. She says, get out. And it literally gagged me. But the point is, she said, you know, we're only going to be speaking words of positivity here. And if you're not going to say anything positive, then, you know, kick rocks. And they left the room, obviously embarrassed. And she even says, my son's going to make it. He will wake up. And she speaks, she sows these seeds of positivity. And I think it was just so inspiring. And I just remember to thank you, Holy Spirit. And I think we should be having that similar attitude when we are facing situations that may be heartbreaking, and we're waiting for God, we're waiting on God for an answer. And we should just take a book out of that mom's, you know, a page out of the mom's book, because I think she was awesome. One of my favorite actresses. But the point is that we should actually be hopeful, because I think a lot of us have had so many things that we've been waiting for, and they didn't come to pass. And, you know, we kind of think that, oh, God must not be listening to me. But, you know, my mom even said the other day that sometimes no is still an answer. Not even sometimes, no is still an answer. And when we get no's from God, he's not just saying that because he's an evil God and wants to see us suffer, but because he knows what's best for us. And when it is yes, or even yes but wait, we should be, you know, spiritually productive, and we should be hopeful, you know, have hope and faith. Because I get it, it can be really, really hard, especially if you've been waiting for something and no avail. But take a look around what God is asking you to be spiritually productive in. And most of the time when God is preparing you to receive something, he's still teaching you something in the process. And I think, like what I mentioned earlier, when I was praying for friends and stuff, I was spiritually productive in learning how to be a good friend. And I'm not the perfect person. I'm not the most perfect friend. But I do think that when it comes to things like being there for my friends, I have improved in that area a lot. Because if you know me in person, I am a homebody. I do not answer messages I used to. And what the Lord was training me to do was, like, be there, you know, check in, say words of encouragement, and, you know, congratulate your friends, be a good friend, and pray over your friends as well. And coming back to what I was saying, that's how I learned something. I learned something about, okay, I'm not the most reliable person in the context of answering messages. So let me just improve in that area. Oh, okay. Let me pray for my friend's safety and their salvation because, you know, that's me being a loving friend. So let me extend love in this way. And I think the same should apply to us. And we should be grateful because we're seeing some sort of progress somewhere. And that will, I think, help us have more faith and kind of keep the wheels turning in terms of faith. Like when I was praying and I was seeing myself being a little bit more compassionate and checking in a little bit more often, I was like, dang, okay, yes, I'm improving this area. And I kind of got a little bit excited. I was like, okay, yes, let's do more. And, you know, it was just such a good way to keep the wheels of faith turning. And I really do encourage you to take a look at your own life and see what it is and see where, in which areas you're improving spiritually and in terms of the assignments that God has given you during this waiting season, because God would never let you just wait there and just sit there. You will learn something. You will have assignments. You will have things that God will ask you to do in terms of being spiritually productive. And so coming back to the whole story about Zechariah, I don't know why I want to say John so bad, but yeah, he was not perfect and neither are we, but he was obedient in the end. He said his name is John, and that's how he was able to testify. And I think it's just really, you know, symbolic for us. And I think the ultimate lesson that I want to leave this off on is, let's stick it out. You know, if it is God's will to be waiting to receive something from him, let's actually stick it out. Let's build our endurance, you know. Let's stick it out. Let's not be, you know, I don't want to, it's kind of like, what I'm about to say is kind of a preview of what I'm working on for next week. Let's not be spiritual gold diggers. It sounds outrageous. It sounds like, huh? But this is what I've been thinking about this for like weeks now. But by that I mean, let's not just treat God as like, oh yes, yeah, he's gonna give me this, he has to give me this. And then when he doesn't give it to us the way we want it to be given, we kind of like, oh God, what are you doing? And like, I'm pretty sure we've all seen movies where there's like a gold digger situation, where there's like a super rich person and then the gold digger doesn't get what they want and the gold digger just distances themselves. We've seen that. And I think a lot of us can be that way, you know, because we are either, number one, hoping for the wrong things in terms of God has already said no to those things and now we're upset with God. And number two, we're getting impatient. So let's actually stick it out. Let's have a spirit of endurance and realize that we're not doing it for no reason and realize we're not doing it alone. So yeah, that's the end of this little series. I know this one's a little bit shorter. The last one was, I think, 33 minutes. I was just talking and talking and talking. But yeah, thank you so much for listening to this 4-part series. Hopefully it's been helpful for you in this waiting season. I try as much as possible to include personal examples because I think for me personally, I relate to messages through personal examples and testimonies and stuff like that. And I want to start, you know, share my testimony a little bit more and my story, not just make this like a Wikipedia page almost. But yeah, hopefully this has been helpful. Please let me know what you think about this little series. Email me, DM me on Instagram. Everything is in the show notes area. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you keep safe. As you may or may not know, Christians are being persecuted in other countries on a daily basis. So I believe it's up to us Christians, fellow believers in Christ, to support them either financially or spiritually. So would you please, please, please click the link in my bio under persecuted Christians. Support them financially and join me in prayer, either 5 minutes, 2 minutes a day, just to pray for them and pray for their strength and their courage to continue worshiping God and to continue following Jesus. Thank you.